يقولون سلام سلام ولا هنا سلام.
You're listening to Middle East Analysis, a podcast series from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. Hello and welcome to our podcast. It's another Middle East Analysis, which means that I'm joined by Dr. Harry Hagopian. Harry is the Bishops' Conference Consultant on the Middle East and is also a former Assistant General Secretary of the Middle East Council of Churches. I must add in the legalistic side, Harry, you're also an international lawyer. How are you today?
Tired, just like you, James, but always a pleasure to be in this small studio.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, and obviously I don't need to say that it's pretty hectic in the region at the moment. Now, Libya, obviously the situation is ongoing there. Syria, we hear more about Syria, Yemen, Bahrain. Now, this all started in Tunisia and moved on to Egypt. There are issues there we can talk about now, but give me the rundown as far as you see it now. Where might this end?
Well, James, I think at some stage we owe it to your listeners to have a more in-depth analysis, first, of what is happening across the whole Middle East, North Africa region. Probe a bit more on the various dynamics of the region, and also at the same time look a little bit more carefully and more closely on the religious dimensions of the conflict. How much does religion play a role in the conflict, or what are the consequences of the conflict upon religion? And I'm talking also not only upon Islam and what happens in the future, but also upon the small Christian indigenous communities in the region. At the moment, basically, as everybody would know from their radio stations or their televisions, that things are on the move constantly. In Libya, it's really ebb and flow. One minute the rebels are having the upper hand, then Colonel Gaddafi's forces manage to repel the rebels and move eastward again and retake some of the towns that the rebels had overrun. In a sense, it is unsure as yet what is happening. At the moment, there is as much diplomacy and politics at play as there is fighting on the ground. And I think in the next few days, things might become a little bit clearer, both on the political level as well as on the war itself, whether it's an uprising, a civil war, where is it going to lead us to? But you are right that this is spreading. I mean, it's spread post-Libya, it's spread into Bahrain, where, although it's been contained to some extent, yet there are serious murmurs of dissent in that country, not least because the ruling dynasty is a Sunni dynasty and the majority of the Bahraini people are Shia. So you have all those tensions that one needs to navigate through when it comes to this small kingdom. As far as Syria is concerned, that is really the surprise, because analysts were divided as to whether this groundswell would reach Syria or it would not. Would the genie come out of the Syrian bottle or would it not? There have been some demonstrations against the regime in many parts of Syria, not least in Latakia, in Daraa, in Tafas, in other parts of the country. But there have also been demonstrations supporting the regime and supporting President Bashar al-Assad. So in a sense, at the moment, I think Syria is pretty much a big question mark, whether the people would accept the promises that have been made for reforms to come or whether the momentum would continue even more.
One question I'd like to ask you, from my own viewpoint really, is when we looked and have looked in the past at the Iraqi Christians that have streamed out of the country and into Syria, is it out of the frying pan into the fire now?
I don't think it's out of the frying pan into the fire as far as those Christians are concerned. You're absolutely right. One of the main concerns I have in this part of the world is about the fate of the Christians of Iraq. Because if anybody has been paying a dear price for all the turbulences of the region, they are the Christians of Iraq. I mean, we at the International Affairs Department at the Catholic Bishops' Conference, we constantly talk about the Christians of the region. Bishop Declan, as you know, has been to Lebanon. We're planning a visit, if all things go well, to Syria. There is a special program for the Christians of the Holy Land. So there are indigenous Christians whose faith and fate are both essential for us here at the Bishop's Conference. However, I think that whatever happens in Syria is something that is going to impact the whole country and not only the Christian communities, whether they are the Iraqi refugees or whether they are the Christians who are Syrian nationals. And remember, Syria is a very rich, multi-confessional country with many, many Orthodox and Catholic Arab Christians living there.
Again, something I'd like your viewpoint on, in terms of, it's far too early to say what might replace Gaddafi, of course, because we don't know if he will be replaced in that sense. But I just wanted to ask you, I read your recent article where you actually talked about, you know, a history of tribal divisions in the country. And I was wondering what exactly could happen if you have these tribal divisions that Gaddafi has kept under control in the past?
Well, a lot of things could happen with Libya, James. Again, I keep on repeating time and again that I'm not a prophet and I do not pretend to be one, because I don't think anybody, even those policy makers at the highest echelons, wouldn't actually be able to forecast correctly how things would go either in Libya or in any of the other countries, because things are moving so much and so quickly. However, in Libya itself, since that is particularly your question, many things could happen. The rebels could actually overrun the Gaddafi forces and reach Tripoli, in which case we might suddenly see that either Colonel Gaddafi leaves the country and goes somewhere, seeks refuge in another country, or he might even resist, and who knows, he might even end up getting killed by his own people. Alternatively, the rebels might lose out despite the support of the allied coalition forces, and then Gaddafi might regain the momentum, and then we have a real civil war in the country that would tear that country apart. Or alternatively, we could have a division of the country where we go back into the history before Benito Mussolini united Libya in 1939, where you had two colonies or two dynasties, the East and the West, and we might actually end up with a split between East and West Libya. In all those factors, the tribal element is very important, as you mentioned, in Libya as much as in Yemen, for that matter. Where one of the many worries I have is that even if we as the West manage to facilitate an outcome for the country, whether that would then lead to clashes between the interests of the various tribes, which would still tear that country apart. So at the moment, we're dealing with a very sensitive issue in Libya, just as much, I think, in most of that region, which is why I always pray and hope that we will approach it with wisdom and neither with gung-ho militancy nor with too much passivity. Somebody, a good analyst, said there is a big difference between pacifism and passivity, and that is something maybe we should keep in mind this weekend and certainly for our Lenten prayers.
I also noted with a great deal of interest some of the points you made about no-fly zones and more specifically UN resolutions set up to protect the people. And you mentioned obviously the parallels with Bosnia and
indeed
what happened in Srebrenica in 1995, and that there was a no-fly zone in place 3 years earlier,
yep,
and yet it didn't prevent a massacre.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, it's dreadfully difficult, isn't it? You've got the rhetoric from Gaddafi saying it's a Christian versus Muslim crusader war.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable rhetoric, I would think, for most of us to look upon.
Yeah.
But, you know, how can we get involved for the good of the people in these countries and actually make a difference rather than cause more problems?
Well, that's part of the problem. This is why it's very careful. We have to be very careful about how we manage this whole issue, not only with Libya, but with the whole region. And this is why sometimes we have to be a little bit slow in order to think out not only what we're doing, but the consequences of where we're going with our actions. What Colonel Gaddafi says about a crusader campaign against Libya, that's empty, vacuous rhetoric. That's a bluster. That's him trying to muster up Muslim-Arab solidarity for his cause against the allied attacks and against the rebels. Interestingly enough, on the one hand, he says that it's a crusader campaign. On the other, he says it's Al-Qaeda who are responsible for most of what's happening in Libya. He has to make up his mind. Is it the Christians or the Muslims who are the source of all this trouble? In my opinion, it's neither nor. I think it's basically him and his regime, which for 40-odd years have really sucked the country dry in terms of the interests and the citizenship rights of its population, and that the population have finally had enough of it and want to get rid of him. But here again, we have a problem, because I do not believe, and I'm open to be convinced, but I do not believe that the whole country is against Colonel Gaddafi. I think he has his own areas that support him, and there are other parts of the country who desperately want him to get out. And therefore, this is where it becomes very difficult for us how we act, what we do, and what would be the consequences. Because the last thing you want to see is that you replace one dictatorial regime by another dictatorial regime, or that the former slaves then become the masters of a new generation of slaves.
Well, that's the thing. You don't want to be looking upon it and thinking, yes, that was a good intervention and it did safeguard the people. And then actually all the cameras go away, everyone disappears, people are marginalised again, there's a new dictator. So I think that's a very good point.
Precisely. This is why, if you look at some of the statements that have come out of the Catholic bishops' conferences, for instance, in the United States, where they addressed a letter to President Barack Obama, in which they expressed great apprehension at this campaign and sort of warning him to be careful about the consequences of this campaign, because it is actually unpredictable at the moment how it would go. Who would have thought that Gaddafi would still be fighting, and not only fighting, but clawing his way back eastward in Libya? Who would have thought that the rebels would actually be able to fight it out after 2-3 weeks of bloody battles between the two sides, one of them clearly much better equipped than the other? But also, what worries me in all of this is the longer it takes, the more there is a sense of mission creep, and the more worries I have about us becoming more and more mired down in the morass of what is Libya today. And therefore, again, I hope that we will be able somehow to find an exit strategy. And perhaps this is something that we should discuss when we have our next longer podcast about exit strategies and how we should deal with it.
Well, Dr. Harry Hagopian, I appreciate you coming in, particularly as you're being pushed from pillar to post in these, these last 7 days. And I think one thing that, again, we must acknowledge is that this situation is evolving almost by the minute. So things that we say could be superseded by actions. And so therefore, we will take a proper look again in the very near future. And one other thing I'd like to say is that you and I have talked about perhaps examining in a bit greater detail the situation in Egypt now, post-uprising.
Indeed.
Also, Gaza has come across our radar, and also Lebanon we must talk about too.
Precisely. We should do all those things, because there are developments that also impact the Christian faith communities in all those countries and across the region, and I would welcome that in perhaps a longer and more analytical podcast sometime soon, James.
Dr. Harry Hagopian, thank you very much.
My pleasure.